It gives me great pleasure to introduce Wayne from Ojai.
When do you eat the cake? I thought that was, that's what I thought you'd do next. Anyway, Wayne from Ojai. I'll do the best I can. I am not a speaker. I'm a cabinet maker, recovering alcoholic, motorcycle bum, drug addict, whatever. But last time I spoke was a while back, and somebody told me that I was okay, but then they criticized a bunch of shit, and that I jumped around too much. And I didn't have a real pattern to my thing. It went up and down, and went from here to there. That'll probably happen. And I like that. I know that description of it. I never seen that. That's pretty cool. I like to have that. I know another one is kind of like denial. And I know maybe I was an alcoholic when it didn't dawn on me though. When I got up about 2 o'clock in the morning for like years, maybe three, puked my guts out in the toilet, and it looked like beer. It was beer. It foamed like beer. And I thought, man, you got to stop smoking them cigarettes and chewing that tobacco. It's making you sick. And I love beer. I wasn't real, and margaritas, and I made a really good margarita. And some other stuff, but I wasn't a whiskey drinker or anything like that. But I could, because it got me there too fast. Beer, I could kind of drink a case, you know, and still be sort of functional. Anyway, so I guess I got to start. I got a little time, so I better start in the beginning or whatever. Or I'll start when I was born. I was born in Duarte, California, which is a really nice place till now when it's smogged out and a big mess. But at that time, it was beautiful. And it's a brand new house my parents bought there. It's 1950. And it's right up in the mountains, right next to the mountains. Had a brand new school, brand new house. Pure baby boomer, man. It was like 10 houses with 60 kids on the street. You know, it's like everybody just boom. And so it's a great place to grow up. And my dad was an alcoholic. My grandfather was an alcoholic. Gould was. The other ones were, my other grandfather was a phenobarbital addict. And pretty much that was it. My grandparents lived here in Santa Maria. I used to come up here and went to the rodeo when I was like five, got me a hat and stuff, and went out there, went to Pismo, dug clams. My grandfather worked for the railroad, Southern Pacific, did a lot with produce or whatever, and he was a wine-drinking fool. Remember, he told me one time he was camping, and him and my grandma, their wine had turned to vinegar. He goes, Wayne, I had to drink it. It's all we had, you know, and that was kind of the story of the Goulds drinking. They were winos. And anyway, I grew up there and went to high school and all that. I was played football, played sports, was a surfer, was a whatever, you know. But I knew I was going to be an alcoholic. I knew I was going to love alcohol. I absolutely freaking knew it. I knew. It was the first time I could get around to drinking it, I was going to love it. And I did. I would sneak it or get it. And I made it to like 16, got my driver's license. Immediately went to Mexico to go surfing and fucking drinking and doing everything under the sun that a guy, and I had a good job, had a bunch of money for somebody who was 16, had a pretty decent car, had just a blast down there, just really went crazy down there. And every chance I got, I went back there. And that sort of was like almost too much fun for a 16 and 17. I made it for 3 or 4 years down there. And just having a good old time, not getting in any trouble really, for some reason. I actually was kind of, I knew how to stay out of trouble. I did not like jail. I'd been there a couple of times, but I didn't want nothing to do with it. I managed to pretty much stay out of frickin' jail. And but over the years, my drinking just got worse and worse. And I had a lot of fun with drinking. It was my way of life. I did it. I managed to kind of keep it together most of the time, but once in a while it just went out of control. I always kept a job, and so I didn't really drink too much till the end. Then I got out of control. But anyway, I had a job, good jobs my whole life, or up until the end. But I decided I was working in an electronics company, which turned out being a huge electronics company. I should have stayed there in Pasadena, but I was sick of California. I wanted to move away for a while, but moved to Colorado Springs, got a chance to start a company with a bunch of electronic people trying to make cabinets that had no idea what they were doing, and it went broke in about a year. And so I met, then I got, I actually, that was one way, I am a cabinet maker, I'm a custom cabinet maker, I have a custom cabinet woodworking business, and that got me started there. And then I went to work, I wanted to live there still, so I got a job in a, with another shop, with a crazy maniac guy for a boss, just an idiot, and just, he wasn't ranting, raving, throwing stuff, it was, and it was crazy. Really pretty. Manitou Springs is this little town, and they, he caused so much trouble that a lot of the military guys, I'd come in the shop first thing, and they would throw tear gas in the shop, and because the guy was such a jerk, and I'd walk in there, and there's all these, not only German tear gas, but it's not fun. It's really bad, and it doesn't go away right away. And they'd slash his tires, put sugar down his things, and the guy was just a total jerk. And anyway, he fired 64 people in 6 months. I don't think any of them lasted over 3 days, and I was the last one there, and he was yelling and screaming, and I finally left. I couldn't take it anymore. And then the economy there just went really bad, so I moved back to California. I got a chance to move back to California, Worked down there for about a year, and then I moved to, tried to take a job in Santa Barbara. My daughter was one, I had a daughter, she was 1 year old, and I decided I'm getting out of LA area. And so I moved up, got a good job in Santa Barbara, getting a job. And that, unfortunately, I had to commute from, I couldn't find a place to live in Santa Barbara, no, saved my life at that time. I couldn't, so I found a place right immediately, a really nice place in Ojai. But then I found that I could commute, I'd make it to Summerlin, and then I'd buy a six pack. And I'd drive over to Pass, and then I'd drink that all on the way over there. And then I'd buy a 12-pack, and because I didn't want to walk in the house looking like I was married, and look like I drank too much. So I drank the 12-pack, maybe a little bit more. This is my whole daily routine for years and years and years and years. Then that I better slow down. Anyway, yeah, I'm done. I don't know. There's a little bit. I can fill in some blanks. This is what I did. This is what they complained about. So now I'm going to have to go back and start over when I was born or whatever. But screw it. They asked me to come up here, so here I am. They're stuck with me. Stuck with me. All right. Well, I don't know. I had some time. I really lucked out getting sober. So I should say I got sober. Anyway. I pretty much, my wife was getting sick of it. I was living at a school. I a Montessori school, 10 acres, beautiful piece of property. I put on a double wide trailer there. I didn't have to pay any rent. It's been about right, bought this thing. So, and I kind of helped them around there. I built furniture, did all kinds of stuff, kept care of the place. And so, but anyway, even then I was starting to drink too much and I was starting to get a little bit of kind of a, you don't want a drunk walking around your Montessori school. So, but I had a heart, you know, I didn't really complain too much, but my wife was, ex-wife was starting to go psycho on me. And I had a son then too, and just wasn't working out for either one of us. We were really not compatible at all. But anyway, I got kicked out of, basically said, screw you, I'll go, and I had a business, so I'd go work, live down there in my little shop, I'll show you. And and I had a membership to the racquet club where I could go take a shower. So I had it kind of made, I thought. And anyway, it got kind of lonely after a while. And so anyway, I decided, well, I must try to stop drinking on my own. And I really never tried to do that because I was kind of alcoholic. Really, nobody wanted to mess with it. I wasn't too bad, pretty bad, but nobody really wanted to mess with it because it would just take, I would just start going psycho on you. And I didn't want to mess with my drinking. And anyway, so I quit. A couple of times I tried to quit, and I couldn't do it. I just could not. I'd make it a couple of days, pat myself on the back, and then I'd just read back, having to make up for lost time and be all messed up again. And still trying to work. People were calling in, going, do you usually smell like that in the morning? You know, or stuff like that. Yeah, most of the time. It's actually coming out of my body at this time. I'm drinking so much, it's like coming out of my pores, I think. So anyway, I somehow really decided to quit. But I couldn't. One more time I was going to quit, and I couldn't. And then somebody came in, a friend of mine came in, and I could just say, at this point right now, I'm living in my shop, I'm trying to quit drinking, I'm not quitting drinking, And I'm so depressed, it's just insane. I cannot get any more worse. It's the worst day of my life. I just cannot. And 2 days after my birthday too, which is kind of bad. And I'm just this lonely, pathetic person. And no matter what I drink, I can't feel any better. It will not. Alcohol just it just stopped working for me. I could drink the ocean and I wouldn't feel any better. I'm just getting worse and worse and worse. So for some stupid reason, I thought I'm going to go to Ventura. So I start driving down to Ventura, and I'm like, I don't know if I'm crying or whatever, but I think at some point going down there, I just go, God, why don't you help me or something? I think, I don't even know, something I did. And at that moment, just like a bolt of lightning went through me, like that. And I knew exactly what I was. I knew I was an alcoholic. I knew I had to stop. I knew I went turned made a U-turn right there on the road, which I went and saw a shrink one time. They think that's significant because I turned around right there. Anyway, I turned around there, went back to the shop, called Alcoholics Anonymous. Said, you know, I got some guy in Fillmore, a Marine, an old Marine in Fillmore. And I started telling him this shit. And he's like, yeah, I think you got a problem. Yeah, you know, what do I do? So he said, I know a guy in Ohio. Hank Alvarez, and I'll call him up and he'll call you. So about a half hour later, he calls me and says, meet me at the Lano Club. And it's like 7 o'clock in the morning. I go, okay, I'll meet you over there. And that guy got me on the road to recovery. At that time, the recovery houses, I got sober in 1983. At that time, the insurance companies were paying for all these recovery houses. People were just going through there. So a 30-day program cost $20,000 or something, and they just to shove you out after you're done. But there was mobs of these people. He ran it, these part of that. And he also was a really nice, a good AA guy too, until he jumped off the California bridge and committed suicide 5 years later. But anyway, he was the first guy I met, and he helped me out. And he ran these recovery houses, and that's what he did. So anyway, that got me on the way to AA, and he sold me the big book and told me to write the date in there and whatever. And I've never gone back out either. I've never even wanted to go back out. It's 30-some years. I wanted something, but it hasn't been a drink or a fix or nothing else. Anyways, it gave me a big book, and I went back and started reading that big book, and I couldn't believe. That thing was jumping out at me like I couldn't believe there were other people in this universe that everything made sense all of a sudden. So I know there's like a, and this, I know this wasn't me doing it. It was some kind of higher power. It was some kind of intervention. You know, I can't even believe, I can't even explain how heavy that was or how grateful I was. And I went to maybe 2-3 meetings every day for like 6-7 years, I think. I don't know. But I, right off the bat, I was in this program. And I hooked up with some absolutely wonderful people. And I hooked up with some really jerks. I had some kind of thing for picking the absolute worst sponsor in the world. More than once. One was a con artist and who totally isn't. I actually ran him out of town about 3 months later. He just, or maybe 6 months later, the dude was just insane. He was ripping people off and running. Anyway, that's who I picked, and he was absolutely horrible. Very dangerous, actually, person, and mentally unstable or whatever. So that was one of my sponsors. I haven't had too many sponsors since, but because I think actually I lucked out having this kind of a spiritual awakening before I ever got here. I was ready to do the steps the moment I walked in the door. In fact, I'd already bottomed out or whatever it takes to get in this, for me to get in this thing, and I accepted the program. So if you had had me reading a big book the day before that happened, I would have made notes that would have made no sense at all. I would have just said, you're crazy. This is ridiculous, bunch of baloney. But because that denial broke, and I got to get out of it. And then I don't know. I think I had about 3 months sober, and I went to a meeting that was right across the street from my shop in a church, and the guys that had been going there for a while, the guy was sitting on the front step there, was upstairs, and the secretary, and he's drunk, and he goes, well, what am I supposed to do? And he threw the keys at me. He said, it's your meeting, Wayne, so and I started, I had a meeting in Oakview for a while, and I had it. Then I had a meeting, and it was secretary of a meeting and 5 o'clock meeting for a few years in the Lano Club in Ojai. And then they started not probably four or five, probably when I had about 4 or 5 years sober, they started a 6 a.m. meeting every day. Well, it started off with one, and it gradually, now it's every day except I think it's 7 o'clock on Sunday. And I've had that meeting ever since, on Friday morning, 6 o'clock. So, like, I don't know, like 27 years or something I've had. Every once in a while I see if everybody wants it, but I'm still stuck with it. So, Dwayne's meeting, if you're in Ojai, Friday morning, 6 o'clock, I'll be there. So, and they give chips at that meeting, too, if you want chips. Somehow that's escalated. And the format's kind of, we had a guy that spoke like 10 minutes every time. He's like a public speaker at my meeting. And you could not shut him up. And there was another one that spoke anyway, we turned it into this here and now meeting where we kind of had a friend of mine write a format where it talks about stabbing the person through the heart with a hot knitting needle if he goes on rambling and some other shit. So it shuts people up pretty fast. And the guy was a famous writer too, and I didn't write it. He wrote it. So anyway, every once in a while that still gets read. But and then I think I had about 5 years sober, and I had a friend of mine for a couple years who was a real motorcycle enthusiast. So I started riding with the I just started hanging around him. He was really a neat, still a friend of mine, Presley Patel. But anyway, he had old Goozies, and he was building up an old flathead or old panhead Harley. And when he got done with it, he goes, "You want my Goozies?" So he sold to me for $500. I made 3 payments to buy this thing, which I still have, by the way. but it was a wonderful machine. I could work on it. And they had a thing that was called the Fifth Chapter. I don't think it still exists. I think it was a motorcycle club. It was really pretty big, very big, in fact. But got in trouble with some outlaw groups, and I think it shut them down. But anyway, I started riding with them, and that was really a sober, really sober, fun experience. Because I'd never rode a motorcycle before either, not a big one. And in fact, Jan rode on it a lot. We rode everywhere on this thing. But anyway, they had run after runs all over the all over Visalia, all over the place. We'd go all over the place, up in Three Rivers. It was really, really a nice experience, and a good way to stay sober. It was really a lot of fun. And anyway, that kind of died out, so I got away from that. Another thing I did, and a lot of stuff happened in sobriety. That was one that I really didn't plan on. And another one was me and Jan, we started going down to Mexico, just down to South Aquatus, this place. Get out if you can. That's in Spanish, I guess. Or if you think you can get out, this place down this big old road. It's absolutely beautiful down there. And I like to dive, free dive. So it's a really good free diving place. And anyway, we'd gone there a few times, and we heard about this hot spring that was down outside the town down there. So I said, "Oh, we'll go to the hot springs." So went down to the hot springs, turned left at the golf course if you ever want to go. And it's back in there about 10 miles. It's really nice. It's really nice hot springs. But when we're going out there, on the left, there's this building, or kind of wasn't really a building. It's just a thing, like a fence, high fence with a circle triangle on it, and white and blue. What the hell? So I went up and started bugging me. I thought, well, I'm going to stop by there. So anyway, that started about a 10-year experience with a place called CETA down there, which is a recovery house for, 60, 70, 180 alcoholics. And this place was built. They took pallets and they put them on ends like this, stuck them in like 3 pallets high, and then they put cardboard on there. And that was, and they painted the cardboard, and then they got some more money, they put chicken wire on there, and then they got some more money, they stucco it. So it's basically the structure made out of pallets. And the first time I went in there, they didn't have any hot water, they didn't have any running water, the heat water, everything was done with fire. You know, they just start a fire and burn it, and that heated up their water, cooked their food and everything else. But they're cutting up like lungs, anyway, to eat. These cattle lungs and stuff. But anyway, we started going down there, hooked into them, buying, I don't know, tables, we bought them food, made cabinets, did, I don't know what we did down there. We were down there probably once a month for years, and it was really, really a trip. It's one of the neatest things I've ever done. And that was a real gift to be able to do that. And I got a call, I hadn't been down there for a couple of years, and I got a call just about a week or so ago from this guy, Paul, who was our friend down there, and he moved down to, where is he now, Jan? Down, yeah, around Mazatlan. And he started another house down there, so I'm going to try to get down there. And he's got, I think, 100 people there, and they got cows and chickens. I kind of stopped going because I kind of got to where they didn't need me so much in this other one. It's not a plus. The guy moved, that the director got out of there, and I'm not sure what's happening. I should go down there and check it out. But it was really, there's AA's really strong, and these guys have a, it's like going to prison there for AA. It's hardcore, man, and you work. And these guys, they got them doing everything out there, cleaning out trucks and for other places. And it's really a really nice establishment, really, really cool, really, really neat. But anyway, that went on for quite a while, and I'd like to get back into that. I just haven't had this real. Once I go down there, then I got to keep going there forever. So I just don't want to get. I can't get hooked into that again right now. That I don't want to. It's just too draining. Really, I'm getting too old. I turned 65. I can't believe it. What happened? Anyway. So I don't know. It's this whole thing has just been a real, real trip for me. It's really been a fun experience, and I can't. If you're new in this thing, it's just a trip. It is just hang in there. It gets so much better. It's just not even funny. Just Jan. But now Jan's another problem. She had 17 years sober. Oh, maybe you probably heard her story. Anyway, 17 years sober, and decided to do a little experimenting there. I can kind of tell what's coming on because her attitude was kind of changing. And she's the type of person that drinks about a half gallon of vodka in 2.5 seconds, literally. In fact, anyway, she took, huh? She's not very big. But anyway, we went through a couple of recovery houses, tried to get her in a couple of recovery houses, and nothing was really working. And I have one. I bought a. She's very tricky. But I bought one of these breathalyzer thing. You blow in and tell you, this girl blows a .40 and still walking around. That's death on this machine. It doesn't go any farther. You're dead. And I didn't drink anything. Oh God. Anyway, we got her in a place called. Not this is an AA. It's this Teen Challenge. But they saved Jan's butt. Really saved her, but it's a program for women or guys too. It takes 1 year and it's absolutely free. And she works there now, and she's a good. It actually does a good job, and it's just right for her. She's right in the right place to remind her where she's coming from or whatever. But it really is a tremendous outfit. It's every bit as good as AA or whatever. It just anyway saved Jan's butt. And mine too, because I about had it. Jan could be invisible too. I remember trying to get to a liquor store, like up against the wall, like this. Like I'm right where that guy is. She's like, gotta have it, man. I'm sneaking in there or something, you know. So I went in the liquor store. I told the guy, don't sell her any booze, and they wouldn't sell you any booze from then on. He's a good guy. You found other ones. You know? Anyway, that guy wouldn't. So. One down. Anyway, yeah, Jan's been a good, her whole family's a very good example of this disease. But they're really a neat family too, so I really lucked out getting them, and whatever. Yeah, it's been a wild ride with this Phillips here, this Jan. I gotta think of something else. I warned you, I am not a speaker. I'm a cabinet maker, surfer, diver, whatever. I do love the mountains. I love to fish too. I'm a fly fisherman too. Been doing that since I was a little kid, and I'm very good at it. That's in my opinion. But anyway, there's nothing to do with alcoholism, but it's fun. I like to get out and do stuff outdoors. I've always been a, kind of an outdoorsman. I like to get out there, get some nice fresh air, and get going on some stuff. Except now I got this rheumatoid arthritis, which is kind of putting a damper on. It's very painful sometimes. I don't really like it. But anyway, I'm dealing with it. It's not fun, but it's part of being 65 years old, lifting plywood and shoving junk around your whole life. I'm still doing it, so it still feels good to get out there. And I got a whole wood pile out there to chop up now, too. So, whatever. And anyway, Santa Maria's kind of neat up here. I liked it up here. I've been up here for a while. It's a nice town. Yeah, it's gotten big. I came up here before. What, you don't like this town? Really? They have still rodeos, a bunch of cowboys, rednecks up here, right? Yeah. I like that sign back there too, because I the Lano Club, you go there. I've made all I made the front counter, bar, the formica tops, the back part with all the trash stuff in there, and our literature racks, some tables, and all a bunch of frames. But there's a frame like that one, and then the yellow one, and then there's a white one next to it. Well, two yellow ones like that I framed a long time ago. That's nicotine on those frames. I don't know if that's what that is. They used to be able to smoke. And if you could look at, like, this meeting here, you couldn't even see that sign. There'd be so much smoke in this room. And I really miss that in a way. It's good smoking, but I thought if I just went up and licked that sign, I could just have a whole hit of nicotine. But yeah, it's literally that. If you ever go there, you'll notice the one side's all yellow. The other side's white. That's the nicotine side on that side. And they tried splitting it for a time where you could smoke on this half and on that half. Then they put big smoke eaters up there. Now you just can't smoke. In fact, you can't even smoke near the place. You have to go down to the corner and smoke down there. And they're complaining about that too. So I'm glad I'm not a smoker anymore. It's not a good habit. Yeah, that's my brand too. See, that's why I smoke Marlboro Red. It's great. Poor guy that works for him. Guy who works for me, he's 20, he's worked for me over 20 years, but he smokes. He cannot stop. This poor guy, he cannot even. The poor Eric, this guy is a really good example of having a bad day. His mother's got stage 4 breast cancer. His wife is divorcing him, which he wasn't ready for at all. He's got three kids, wants $3,000 a month, alimony or child support, which is more than the guy makes. And he's drinking like crazy, and he's just a wreck. He's getting sued by some other. Well, it just goes on and on. The poor guy's just falling apart. And he's a deadhead, too. A really bad deadhead. In fact, I have to listen to Grateful Dead Sirius every day, all day long. Just stays on there. But anyway, geez, we've got 10 more minutes of this. I tried to get her to speak, because most meetings have a 10-minute speaker before the main speaker, but she wouldn't do it. She wouldn't change this format. She wouldn't do it. So I was stuck with it. What else have I done? What have I done in these 30-some years of sobriety? I haven't made a big mess of anything. I do have a higher power. I should say something about that, huh? Yeah, because that's probably responsible for, you know, most of my anything that's come good out of anything is that. And I pray and meditate. I'm reading the Bible too. How about that? I'm on almost to the end, and I'm getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning, reading this thing till 6, then I gotta go to work. But I've committed to reading the Bible. I've never done that in my life. And so I'm almost done with this thing. They talk a lot about Jesus in there and stuff. It's good. It's like when you go to church, they talk about that guy all the time, you know? Anyway, I'm kind of enjoying it. In fact, I think when I get done, I might start over again. Because at 5 o'clock, I just can't stay with it. I'll start the New Testament over again, just read it over again. But that it really enjoyed doing that. And I always have prayed and meditated every morning. In fact, I go out to Lake Casitas. I leave about half hour early. I only live about 5 miles. I can go right around Lake Casitas. I stop out there, a real beautiful spot, watch the sun come up, and I meditate for about a half hour every day since almost 30 years. Every day, rain or shine, Wayne's out there. And I got to get my head kind of screwed on spiritually before I even attempt to get out into the insane world of my answering machine and other things blinking at me, calling me, wanting me to do things and be responsible, you know. And some degree that higher power has just really, really, really worked in my life. It just, when it's, they say there's no atheist in a foxhole, and that's how I got my higher power. I was just desperate, really desperate. I think that's one thing. If you're bottoming out, you're desperate, your life's falling apart, you're just a big mess, alcohol's not working, drugs aren't working, that's really good. About that time, you're probably going to get this thing, or you might get it, because at least for me, that's what it's like. I should have gone into, when I quit, I kind of, I'm going backwards soon, but when I quit drinking, made a call to Alcoholics Anonymous, after I met Hank, I went back and I actually stopped drinking, but my body didn't like it at all. It didn't like it at all. In fact, I was sleeping on a bent table like this with it had one of those foam pads, looks like an egg crate thing. I put that on this thing, and then I put a down sleeping bag on that. It was a winter. And I had a blanket on top of that. When I get up in the morning, I had sweated through all those, the sleeping bag, the little foam pad, and my body was on the table there, just a wood table. It just plain sweat. That went on for, I don't know, a couple of weeks, man. So I was just like totally, totally losing it, man. It was just, this stuff was coming out of me, like, and also I had really, really bad DTs, really bad, just shaking and just really some weird stuff in my head, just really strange stuff. I mean, beyond strange, scary stuff, like whatever. So thank God for AA, where I had meetings to go to and people to talk to and tell me they were okay. And I also hooked up with another guy that was actually the head of all of Ventura County drinking, and he did the alcohol schools and everything else. And taught this whole thing, and he actually approached me because he couldn't figure out how I got there, because I just made it. Not hardly anybody was making a phone call and just saying, here I am, what are you going to do with me, you know, and that. So he was curious how I got there, and the thing was Al, and he became a really good friend, and then he went crazy, and then he died, but not that that means much, but some of us don't make it. You know, I've lost a lot of friends in this thing. A lot of people just decide to go back out. But most people I know that I came in here are still sober. I know one of them right there, his sister. Amazing. It's a small world. But anyway, I don't know where I'm going with this. I just hope that somebody, if you need to stay sober, can do it, man. It's just a great way to live. It really, it's up and down. It's hard part of the time. It's, you know, it's whatever. It's a new way of life. It's really been good for me. It's been good for my kids. I mean, I haven't made a big mess out of it. I got a beautiful daughter, grandkids, just live close by, and got a good relationship with my mom. My dad died pretty much of this disease a few years back. It was he drank. He was we were Baptists too, which aren't supposed to drink. So everything had to get hidden away, like in the closets or back behind the trash can or somewhere. And he drank Red Mountain. I don't know if everybody knows what Red Mountain wine is, but it was 99 cents a gallon at that time, so it was not very good stuff. But this guy downed it like he'd watch a football game and go, "Dad, who's playing?" He'd be like, "What?" All the time. Like, "What's the score?" "What?" Just like, boom, out there, la la la. I mean, really, just never knew what anything was going on. He'd just be like a zombie, drinking that wine, red, cheap, crappy wine, man. Nasty stuff. I'm not a wine drinker. I don't know anybody can drink that. I tried good wine, bad wine. It all tastes like. Take that. You took the alcohol out of that. You could have given it away. I know you couldn't give it away. It's impossible. It's like, yeah. Okay, swishing the little glass around. Oh, God. makes me, I can't figure it out. I can't figure out. There's a lot of wine up here, huh? Looks like wine after one vineyard after vineyard after vineyard. What are they going to do with all that wine?
It'll sell.
It'll sell, huh? You can't give it away, but they'll sell it. And whiskey, I mean, how can anybody drink whiskey? That has got to be the nastiest stuff in the universe. I like beer. Now, tequila with nice, I could make it with nice, or margarita with nice fresh limes. You know, that makes sense, you know. That whiskey, no. I had a whiskey barrel. I had a little burned out old whiskey barrel. I thought I'd put some fish in there. It's been old, sitting around for months. They just died instantly. They just floated to the surface. Like, oh no. That was not a good idea at all. Yeah, the fish, that stuff is, that, those animals don't want to live in that alcohol. I don't know what it is. It's not, they don't like it at all. It's not good for them. Put something and it dies, it's probably not good for you. You always put a fish in your drink before you drink it. Oh, God. I heard a thing once, there's another thing that has nothing to do with anything, but it was just something you dug up, like in Sanskrit, this old hieroglyphics I said. Anyway, it was like one of those clay tablets where it punched out. It said, the man takes the drink, drink takes the drink, drink takes the man. I always thought that was kind of a the way it is, you know. It's at some point, we cross some kind of visible line where it's become a pickle or whatever, and it's not, you're not going back. Just that's why I don't ever want to even think about taking a drink, and I don't. I've really been really lucky where I just have not had that desire to take a drink. Or I never was much into drugs, although I did like some of them, and a few, but especially like speed when I was younger was kind of fun. I remember somebody got an Alpha Beta bag full of these things that looked like red hot tamales, exactly like a red hot tamale candy. But they were this insane, we called them horse, they were called horse speed. I think they gave them the, supposedly they gave them the horses at Santa Anita to make them run faster. But these things, like two of those, they would be like fried for 2 days. Very busy person. Jaws are getting sore, just talking or just running around. And just insane. Anyway, I'm about done because I can't think of anywhere else to go. And I hope I didn't bore you to death, or I hope you get something out of that. Where, you know, the main thing for me is if you're new or you're in this thing, it's a good. It's been for me anyway a really good experience. It's been great. Me and Janet did ups and downs. We're doing fine right now. And, right now, well, you know, things change one day at a time, you know. These are Phillips people. These people are like, they're like crazy people, basically. They are really very crazy. Their family is very, very dramatic or whatever. Or they have a lot of personality. And they come from very good stock. Anyway, I love the lady, so that's something I must say. I better say that about right now, in fact. Anyway, I love being, it's really nice to be up here. These guys are really, this is my kind of group. I love a group that just looks like people, you know, or my kind of people. Not Ojai people. No, Ojai people are great. Not Montecito people. All right. Thanks a lot.
I like whiskey, by the way. Thank you very much.